Gentlemen, I want to share with you a fascinating vote on the Megillah. It gives such inspiration to go through Megillah Azus. It's incredible. Every year again, to go through Megillah Azus, it's incredible. I find it very powerful, very, very powerful vote. We find in the Megillah that in the beginning of Perek Beis in the Megillah, the end of Perek Aleph, we find that Naomi reaches the ultimate desperation. Well, what would appear to be desperation. With Godrus and Naomi, we have lost everything, especially Ruth, really. She has absolutely nothing in her life. She comes from a rural background. She lost her husband. They lost their money. They have absolutely nothing. They leave Moab and they go to Etzel. There is nothing in their life that is actually working out well. Both Naomi and Ruth, there's actually nothing that works out well. They've lost everything. Husbands, family, wealth, backing, everything is going wrong. Absolutely everything is going wrong. One tragedy after the next, as Chazal teach us. She then goes back to Eretz Yisrael. Both of them go together. Naomi go to Eretz Yisrael. And then she's approached. She says, "Hey, isn't that Naomi?" And I said, no, forget it. It's true, I'm physically Naomi, but actually call me Mara, because everything has gone really bad. So just call me Mara, that's more accurate. And the truth is, she was right. Nothing had gone right over the last few years. Nothing had gone right since the left there. So everything had gone wrong. At that very point, she says everything. She says Mara, because that was the reality. She wasn't bitter about it, but she says this is pure bitterness, because I've reached that. And then as she talks, and this is just two psukim later, what happens is that she says, "Okay, you know what? We've got nowhere. I'm hungry. They were starving. So you know what? Go and get some food, literally from the floor, from the fields. Just take leftovers from the fields. There's a field near here, a distant relative. Pick up from Boyas. He's got a field down the road. Pick up from the poor people's section and pick up from there." And that was literally the second later. Avshe described this with Mara, because she had reached the absolute, not zenith, it's the opposite. Opposite of a climax. It's the absolute tragedy, the absolute situation of the absolute crisis, really. And then she says, "You know, pick up some leftovers from Boaz's field." Happens to be that 5 minutes later, what's going to happen? Boaz's going to notice Ruth, and he's going to say, "Who is Alanar Milemia Noarazoi? So is she?" And he gets to know her, and they marry, and the rest is history. Malchus Beis David comes from there. So the incredible point, I never thought of this until today. I saw this in a sefer. It's an incredible point. It says that you see from here that really both Ruth and Naomi, they felt that they had reached the absolute the climax of desperation. It can't go worse, and it was true. It couldn't have gone worse. And she called herself Mara, and this is bitter. This is crisis. This is terrible. You know, there's money's not going right, family's not going right, there's no future, there's nothing that is going to pick us up. That very second, the issue had started already. A minute later, Boaz, no less, who is called the Ish Chayil, multimillionaire, the tzaddik of the generation, he's going to marry her, and this is going to be the root of Malchus Beis David. Right? Their great-grandson, her great-grandson is no less. Then Yishai, David, Shloim, it all comes from there. She thought this was a major crisis, and she was right to some extent, but more true than that was that this was the beginning of a tremendous Yeshua. This was not a crisis, really. This was the beginning of the Yeshua, of Malchus Beis David, of her personal Yeshua, of her personal salvation, but more than that, also it was the beginning of a tzmichas keren David, and it's incredible because sometimes the perception of a person can be so off. A person can think, "Oh, this is really bad. This is terrible. This is such a crisis." But within that, the Kodesh Baruch Hu is sending actually the seeds of Yeshua and tremendous bracha and Yeshua and nechama and atzlocha. It's just a little bit hidden sometimes, and this is. I think it's a wonderful nekuda. I was wondering. We learned earlier. What's the Mishnah Berurah's understanding why we say Rus on Shavuos? What's the Mishnah Berurah's reason? There's others, but what's the Mishnah Berurah's reason? If I'm not mistaken, what does he say? Does anybody remember? We learned, I think, Tov Pei Tes, no? Pardon? Yes, that's one reason. I think he brings another reason too. I think he says something else. Let me double check, but I think, if I'm not mistaken, is it Tov Tzadik or Tov Pei Tes? Let me have a look. Where is it? No, it's Tov Tzadik. No, it's Tov Tzadik. Yeah, so he says, I'm sure that's what he says, that we say Rus because of the Yisurin. That Torah is nicknames by Yisurin. I'm sure that's what he says. I think it's in Tov Pei Tes. Yeah, it must be in Tov Pei Tes. That because Torah is acquired with Yisurin. And Torah is acquired with Yisurin. And therefore we read Rus on Shavuos to teach us that Torah is acquired with Yisurin. So I was thinking that it might be representing that as well. That yes, there's Yisurin, but you don't even know when the Yisurin are real, genuine Yisurin, and when really what you are experiencing as Yisurin really is a tremendous Yeshua. It's just a short-sighted person sees everything as Yisurin, and somebody who has a bit more of a broader understanding can appreciate that what seems to be sometimes difficult situation and tragedies and challenges, really within that there's blessings in it. Okay, I just want to share that with you. I felt it's a wonderful vault. Okay, we are carrying on. We have to see him on Tov Samach Aleph Seif Base. I want to go see Base today, Be'ezer Hashem, and I want to also go through Seif Gimel. Seif Gase is teaching us about the heat of the ovens, which we've got which must be in place during the matzah baking. That's interesting. Seif Base is a continuation of what we discussed on Thursday. Seif Gimel is going to teach us another topic, which is very, very relevant for any person who eats matzahs on Pesach, to check if it's fully baked. Okay, let's see Seif Beis. Seif Beis again is talking about the heat required in the matzah oven. So steht azoi, top of page 120 in our editions, Tavke. Tavke is, as the Rambam explains, echod min ha'ofim shemechasin boim agag, kupi belaz. A roof shingle, is that what it's called, a shingle? These parts which are made out of roof, which gets very, very hot. Now, shalcheres, which is earthenware, chadosha, which hasn't been used for chametz at all. You've got one of those pieces which can reach tremendous heat. Now, lo shnoi sikum mipafnim oy mibachutz. I want to bake a matzah on that. Okay, I've got this piece. I want to bake a matzah on that. Now, it makes no difference as to whether I heated it by having coals underneath it or coals on the side of it, or the fire is on the next to it, or the fire is underneath it. Makes no difference. I've got this piece. I've got the matzah on top. Mutter, that's fine. Kimin, that's fine. You can use that for matzah baking. Kimin sh'ul sholet tachtel, since you've got literal fire underneath it. Although there's no fire going on top of it, the fire is not breaching through, obviously, the fire is just underneath on the side of it. Nevertheless, it's very hot, it's boiling hot. And the bread, or rather the matzah, gets baked immediately. It doesn't reach chimutz. Now, the point of it is, whenever we talk about a heated or a heating place, we've got to ensure that it's not only, it doesn't only have the quality of reaching tremendous heat or having the potential of reaching tremendous heat, but you can only actually put the matzah dough on it when it's got that heat. The reason being, and that's really, 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 really important, because if you, let's say, you have that tafka, which or the equivalent nowadays, a metal beam or metal bar, or anything which can reach well, and you're heating it up whilst you're putting the dough on top. You're running into trouble. It's true, in a minute or two it will reach that heat, of course, but in the meantime, what's going to happen? Imagine I've got that metal piece which can reach tremendous heat, but before it reaches that heat, yeah, I'm putting the dough on top. What's going to happen? So we are assuming that what's going to happen is that it will actually become sour and chametz. It will become chametz before it's actually being baked. And here is the point, Rabbi Yisai, that when you put the dough into the oven, it must have that immense heat, that tremendous heat. Nowadays, the matzahs get baked in 10-20 seconds max. And you cannot have something which takes longer to bake, much longer to bake, because we're assuming that it's going to get chametz before it actually gets baked. And that's what we're learning now. Tzoich says the Shulchan Aruch, you must heat it up first. Ben tanu, whether it's an oven, ben kuvya, ben bilfas, whatever you're using, whatever kind of oven you're using, you must ensure he has the top heat before placing the dough inside it. Whether you're using an ilfas, which is also but without water, whether it's on the floor, it doesn't make a difference which circumstances. But if you're sticking it in beforehand, and afterwards you're baking the ish oisim, we asa, we forbid. One should definitely be careful with that. Some say that you shouldn't use coals, because here again you've got the issue that it might not reach the top heat. So if you're, let's say, you're putting the matzah dough on the surface and then you are stoking up and starting up the coals, it may be that before reaching that immense heat, it's going to get chametz stick. So here is the point. You must ensure that you get top heat before putting the dough in. Mishnah Berurah Sif Katan Hey just says it out clearly. Sif Katan Hey, third line. Aval tzoch la'asik techila. De'il avochi, without it, yesh lochush, we are concerned, she's chametz, it will become, it will ferment, it will become chametz, koidem, before, she has chilefo, before it starts to bake. Now, so what we are saying is that it's even worse if you're keeping it idle. We know that how long does it take for it to become chametz if you're keeping the dough idle?
18 minutes.
That's right, of course, 18 minutes. Here we're learning that if it's exposed to heat before that, gentlemen, if it's exposed to heat before that, we are concerned that you're speeding up the chametz and it may need less than 18 minutes. It may become chametz before 18 minutes. It gets me very concerned when you see on the machine, or even on the hand, matzahs, baked in 18 minutes. Alright, that's good news, but it might not, been all end. It might need, there's other things you've got to make sure, because if there is warmth before, if the dough is exposed to warmth before it's being baked, it's actually 18 minutes, is no good. It's got to be less than that. The manufacturers, the matzah factories, they actually have cooling systems in place, sometimes very fancy ones, fans or air conditionings, before the dough remains cool, literally until the conveyor belt goes into the oven. I don't know if you've seen it. If you see a machine, a sophisticated Hadrin machine matzah bakery, the conveyor belt will be air conditioned until it hits the oven because of that. because you want to make sure that it's not exposed to heat before it goes into the oven, because of this Shulchan Aruch over here. You may not, because if it's exposed to heat, it ferments quicker and it becomes chametz quicker. So it doesn't make a difference that it's baked within 18 minutes, because it may have become chametz long before it was baked. So here is actually, this is the reason why we do not bake, we can't really bake matzahs at home. In theory, there is interesting emotion that says that you can bake something in a heat which is yatzah. Let this boy, everybody asks on it. You can't bake something if it's yatzah. Let this boy, it sounds like a very low heat. You obviously need a much greater heat to actually bake matzahs. In theory, can you bake matzah at home? The answer is probably not, because the heat that you're going to achieve is probably going to make things worse before they actually make things better. It's going to become chametz before it's actually baked. Because the warmth actually speeds up the chimutz. So don't try at home. Kind of, it's not the kind of thing we should attempt to do. Alright, okay, that's with regards to...
Can I just clarify the 18 minutes? This 18-minute period, does that start from the time that you begin to make the matzah rod, that you bake the matzah, from the time that you start kneading the dough and you lay it out and then you put it into the oven?
Yeah. From the contact of water and flour. Yeah.
So I'm a bit confused about the chemo's process starting and possibly becoming chomets before the 18 minutes is up. What we seem to be learning is that 18 minutes is a misnomer, and it's a lot less than that.
You're saying that if, you know, on the normal circumstances, it is 18 minutes. You're right. On the certain circumstances, it can become chametz earlier than that. There's other things as well. We're going to be learning about another seif as well, that at times, if there's other liquids than water, we're also concerned that it's less than 18 minutes. It's true. I also irritates me very much when I see on the box 18 minutes, because it's not really the point. The 18 minutes is, on the normal circumstances, it will become chametz only with 18 minutes. On the one hand, there is very much the point that you are making, that sometimes it can become chametz less than 18 minutes. On the other hand, there's another misnomer within that we learned, that under extreme circumstances, it can actually be machmir, if it's just water and flour. We learned that the 18 minutes is according to many and mostly shining, but is under some circumstances actually more than 18 minutes. 18 minutes is like a very vague term and not necessarily accurate, and it's not, it's a bit strange. Yeah, okay, we continue with Siv Gimel. Siv Gimel asked the following question: is there a way that we can check that the matzah is not chametz? Is there such a way? I remember a number of years ago, I don't know if you remember that parsha. This is probably when I was still a bacher, so it must have been like probably about year 2000, 2001, perhaps 2002, something like that. There was a very big tumult in Eretz Yisrael that I believe it was run by Moshe Sternbuch or other abonim, or the Choshva leading abonim, that they said that actually if you check out the matzahs, many of the matzahs, you will see that. You'll see that many of the matzahs are actually not chametz free. Sounds scary and sounds radical, but it was all based on certain checks a person can make to find out if the matzah genuinely is baked, or perhaps it is not fully baked. If it's not fully baked, what does that mean? If it's not fully baked, it's inevitably going to become chametz. So there's a ways that we can identify as to whether the matzahs are baked, fully baked, or not. It's very important, because we should check. At times we should check. So let's see what the Shulchan Aruch is teaching us. Matzah shenefes, matzah which is baked. Okay, we've got a matzah which is baked, which we assume that is baked. Until Shem Poyosinoi soy, that this is a freshly baked matzah, okay? Please keep that in mind. This is talking about a matzah which has been literally just coming out of the oven. Shem Poyosinoi, so when you break it, there's no stringy kind of connection. You know when there's like strings, like the doughy kind of strings? When there's dough that is still stringy, I hope you've never experienced this when it comes to matzahs, but you know, we can all appreciate what it means when we bake something, a dough, when it's still doughy, there's still some stringy kind of connection. Okay, if when you're breaking the matzah, after it's been baked, you take it out of the oven, you're breaking it, you see some strings, then if there's strings, no, you're not yotze. But if there's no strings, if it's not stringy, it's not like sticky and stringy, then yotze bo yotze. I'm reading the words again. Matzah shenefes, a matzah which is baked, ad until shein poyosinoi, so when you break it, ein chutin, there's no strings, nimshachim emenu, there's no strings connected to it, coming out from it, yotze bo yotze. If there's no strings, yotze. And the Rama adds to that, obviously, and subsequently, you've got to make sure, you therefore have got to make sure, don't take it out of the oven, so if you're like taking it out of the oven, and you're breaking it off, you say, oh no, look, there's strings coming out, oh, that's not exactly what I wanted, and you say, right, forget it, we'll put it back in the oven, and you're stuffing it back in the oven, that's no good, because when it was out, maybe it became chametz, now you're putting it in the oven, well, it's too late, tough luck, you've messed it up. So therefore, although I'm saying, if you've taken it out, by all means, put it in the dustbin, don't put it on your mat safe, isn't it? So don't, just make sure that there is no strings to the matzah. Okay, now this is very good, but the problem with that is Mishnah Berurah is going to tell us Sifkot Yud Gimel En Chutin Mishachin Afilu Im Hinifreches Kemishlatin Oiso Yoytzin Bom Kozav Chok Yankov. Chok Yankov writes the Im Yeshle Sapegim Chutin Mishachin Emenu. If you're not sure about it and you don't want to break it open, so what you can do, another option as well, Toichav Etzba, take your finger, Lesoichem Matzah, stick it into the matzah, Ve'en Nitpak Po Isif, there's no dough sticking to your finger, yesh la'atir, it's fine. So sign number two, test number two, take your finger, stick it in, and see if there is dough sticking to it or not. Remember, this is all the Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch holds the matzah can be up to a tefach. It's not our Ashkenazische matzahs. This is the Sfadi matzahs. So you can picture how you could put your finger in and potentially, well, if there's nothing sticking to your finger, that's all right. The problem is the Zeu Simon, this is a sign, and Chutin Mishachim Enu, there's no stringy bits anymore. It must be already fully baked. Now, the Kolzei Mematzah Chamot, this is all if the matzah is hot, freshly baked from the oven. Avalim Nitztano, but if it's cooled down already, Efshtosh HaMatzah Adayin Cham, Veloi Bizman Shenitztano. Problem is as follows, the Mishnah Berurah is pointing out that you got to be realistic. If you're taking the matzah out, and it's stringy and doughy, alright, so we're assuming it's not fully baked. But how long is it going to stay sticky and stringy? How long is it going to be like that? Because even if it's not fully baked, but if you keep it like this in the air for, say, I don't know, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, half an hour, it's going to cool down. I ain't going to see any more strings then. Not going to be doughy anymore. It's going to get stiff. It's going to get hard. But it doesn't mean that it's baked. That means that it's going to get hard, but it's still not baked. So this test is a great test if it's hot and freshly baked. But how on earth are we, as normal users, meant to check that our matzahs are fully baked? Because even if we crack it open, and it's not stringy, it doesn't mean anything, because it could be that it's just gone dry. Does that make sense? So how are we going to check that the matzah are fully baked? So the Mishnah Berurah comes to rescue with an additional option, an etzah, and test. you can test the matzahs to see if it's fully baked or not, even once it's cooled down. And that's the bottom line in Sifkot Yudalet. And Sifkot Tezvav. V'yesh oit simon. There's an additional, it's the last few words of the page. There's an additional test. Lepas, shigio lekta lechem. If you want to, I have another way of testing it, but that it's become bread already. In other words, that's baked. V'hu, k'she'enu roim, sh'nikrimu paneo. That it has a slightly burnt look. Vuchat shiur, that all is the same shiur. If it's got no strings, is the same level, the same stage, then not being sticky. And that's all with regards to hot, freshly baked matzah. Once it's cooled down, the equivalent level is its looks. Look at its paneo, at its face. Look at the matzah in its face. And look at it, is it slightly burnt? Shenikim open, it's got a fully baked kind of look. V'u chatshu, that all means the same thing. V'al kein, and therefore, if it's done on our matzah, if it's cooled down already, v'poson, you break it, v'rov, or chatshu mifnim, shenikim shalene, if you have en yochel, shuv la'akir b'simana, once it's cooled down, you cannot check it out by the doughy element as discussed, but rather what you should do is hear the words of the Mishnah fourth line, yabit bifnei ha'matzah, observe, look at it, gaze at the matzah. V'mira, and if you will see shenikim upaneo, that it's slightly burnt. Kimo ma'aliyah she'en bo sofek, and you're not doubtful. You can see, looks a bit burnt, looks fully baked. Yesh la'atiro, it's fine. Ha'aval, but im gam ba'kimo gufo yesh bo sofek. If once you look at this, say, I'm not quite sure. Looks a bit light. Looks a bit. Then v'sofek the right set, and you should be aware, note that it's a doubt with regards to the reise. Lekamo poiskim, but also if you have some rubber, you mustn't. You have to keep very far from this matzah. Keep very, very far. Keep it out of your sight. Keep it away. So here it is. We've got over here a shear, a way of testing. Everybody's into testing nowadays, right? That's nowadays the thing. So the way of testing a matzah is by, if it's cooled down, you look at it. You look at how it looks. You look at it. If it's got slightly burnt tzuret, then it's fine. I want to point out that the experts, some experts, like to crack it. It's not brought down in Mishnah Berurah, but I know there are a lot of mashkichim and a lot of manufacturers and a lot of people that deal with the matzahs. They take a matzah and they crack it. And they can hear from the crack. I know it sounds bizarre, but that's what they do. They crack it, and they can hear from within the crack if it's fully baked or not. It's not brought down in Mishnah Berurah, but you'll hear people. I can appreciate that as well, because it has to have that crack. We all know it's got that crack, that slightly. Also, there's a slightly burnt taste. Every matzah could have a slightly burnt taste. And if we I think we know what the Mishnah is talking about, and it's worthwhile checking whether you're going through machine matzah or hand matzahs. It's worthwhile keeping this Mishnah in mind. Check it out. If it's got that burnt look, you're doing well. If you feel that it's a bit light, then keep it for after Pesach. Okay, so we discussed this evening, Aleph, we discussed the extreme heat that the matzah oven needs to have. We learned that place the dough only onto the surface, onto the baking area, once it reached that top heat, because warmth itself speeds up the process of chimutz, and therefore you only put it there once it's got that heat. If it's got warmth beforehand, you're getting into trouble. Then we learned about the baking of the matzah to ensure that it's fully baked. The Shulchan Aruch is teaching us you got to make sure that there's no strings. Similarly, also, then when you stick on it, it's not wet, it's not doughy, and nothing is sticking to your fingers. If those two tests are fulfilled, then it's fine. Then it's baked matzah. This is only with regards to it, once it's baked and it's still hot. However, once it's cooled down, Shulchan Aruch, the Mishnah Berurah talks about nikum upaneo, that its face looks slightly burnt. Once you've got that, you've got evidence that it's fully baked and you're not worrying about chametz. Right. Okay. I wish you a very good chodesh, gentlemen. A very, very good chodesh.